Continuing with Paul Scott on 18th August 76. Yeah.
Subsequently, we did...
Well, you better repeat. You said you could get enormous pulses.
That's right. The early observations made with the 40 year and looking. This is just happened the most of the sources were at night time, so one had to spend most of the night time there. But certainly on a few days, we got extremely good large pulses with good supernoid. So that one could do quite sophisticated experiments. And for example, we did experiments to check the bandwidth of the pulses by putting a path delay in one of the areas, so you've got a fringe pattern as the thing swept in frequency. There's two things. One is to show that it is swept in frequency, which we did both by having tuned receivers set apart and also by putting in this path compensation error, so that you observe the shift in frequency as it goes through the pass band, and also get some idea of the intrinsic bandwidth of the pulses. So really, I think my main contribution was in the sort of following up of the original discovery. Certainly not at all in the actual discovery of the 4-acre chart.
Right, you weren't working with that at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. Now you say subsequent work that was done here at Cambridge. Which instrument do you mean?
Well, that a lot of that was done with the 4C aerial again, because it seemed on the face of it to have quite good sensitivity. And we thought it should always be possible to detect more hot stars, and certainly one of our students spent only a year of his time developing fairly sophisticated receiver techniques, in particular looking, having a device for removing the dispersion of the pulses, so that you get better signal to noise. But the net result of that was we never found any more over and above the first few which we discovered at Cambridge.
Just needed more...
I think, in fact, it was just that the ones originally discovered were the very few which exactly matched the characteristics of the instrument which discovered them. That's to say that they you had to have ones with quite low rotation measure, or whatever.
Dispersion measure.
Dispersion measure. Because of quite broad bandwidth we were using.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have ones with quite low, slow, long periodicity, because of the time constant we were using. And you had to have ones with quite a steep spectrum, so that they were strong at low frequencies, comparatively low frequencies. And it's just the ones we discovered were the ones which best fitted those criteria. And that is not, those are not the, that's not the sort of range of parameters where most of them live. Most of them are somewhere else, and therefore, as far as we might, we never really discovered any more.
That's interesting. So even of the northern pulsars that are known now, the 100 or whatever, these original four best fit?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. There were very few, looking at the others, there were very few we expected to get at a certain point. And indeed, I mean, they didn't appear strongly later. I hadn't known that they existed looking at our search charts, but they didn't appear strongly.
Now, you mentioned the dispersed signals. Was this something that was discovered and then had to be taken out, or was this something that someone said, well, gee, maybe the signals are dispersed and we'd better see if we can up the signal noise by following them?
That I'm not sure about. I really have no recollection of how that came about, whether it was... It seems surprising that somebody would say you would expect this to be dispersed, although that may have been the case. We knew that short pulses, of course.
You certainly were, especially here...
It may be that we had measured the time delay between 178 megacycles, 81 megacycles, because the 4-acre error, of course, was working at 81 megacycles, and the 4C error at 178 megacycles. And therefore, found whether the time delay between those was significant, I wouldn't like to.
Well, probably Hewish would remember, yeah.
Yes, he would, sure, I'm sure.
What about the matter of what was the nature of the object? I mean, all this time while you were busily adapting equipment and so forth, you obviously were trying to figure out what the hell this thing was.
Yes, well, I think the views changed clearly, but from the stage when we only knew about one until then fairly quickly afterwards, we discovered 4C more. Certainly about the stage when there was only one, I mean, once we clearly had to think either that it was something silly, like some sort of ingenious Martian radar, or some sort of spacecraft, or in something orbit which looked oddly like this ideal source. And those sort of things, or think of signals from a planet, or what have you, that I had to consider quite seriously until one had three more. Then you really had to think it was some sort of natural phenomenon. And I think, but certainly in the November time, at least before the others were discovered, one had quite serious discussions about what one should do about this, and yeah. whether you should tell the Minister of Defence or send a letter to the nation.
Right. In fact, the government or the military never was.
Oh no, it wasn't in the end, but that was really because it was overtaken by the fact that we discovered Seymour.
So you're implying that if it had gone on for a few more months, then you might well have...
Yes, and I think people who sort of say, why do you keep this all on your hat for so long? I mean, there was genuine, absolute doubt as to what one should do about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just sort of the talk of birth. I mean, one just didn't know what was
going
to do. Which now makes it surprising, but certainly wasn't when you had this one object that was absolutely different from anything else.
Now, when did the second three come in? How long
apart? That, again, I would... Tony Hirsch would probably know the exact time. I would guess it would be in November, probably.
So there was a period of 3 months or something with the only one.
Yes, well, certainly a couple of months, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yes, something like that.
Any other comments you'd like to make, especially about the earlier part. Were you here for the Sputnik thing? You said you arrived in 57.
Yes, that's right.
Brand new, I guess.
I was just brand new. In fact, I mean, the only occasion that I really set foot in the original laboratory was just a couple of nights when that was being tagged. But being absolutely green, I mean, obviously one contributed very little at all, apart from making cups of tea and things like that. although it was obviously quite exciting to be in on it.
He must have thought that every month was like this or something. This good field to get into.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. The interview with Paul Scott at Cambridge on 18th August 1976.